at another preacher's that was on Twitter there, and I liked him. Dr. Nicholson put scripture and different things on there. I said, boy, this guy, he gives some good thoughts. And I went over there and looked at his Twitter page and seen he was a preacher from North Carolina, and I said, I wonder how that guy preached. I looked him up, and man, he preached a message that lit a fire in my heart. So I just clicked on his Facebook, sent him a message, and I said, preacher, I want to thank you for what you preached and how it blessed me. He messaged me back. He said, can I have your phone number? I'd like to talk to you. He called me. We began to talk. From that day forward, we forged a friendship. And yesterday, we were riding together, and he said, preacher, he said, it's been like we've known each other all of our lives. I'm telling you, this is a man of God. He loves the Lord, and he's a powerhouse preacher. Would you make welcome Dr. Don Anderson?
Thank you, Pastor.
Love you, boy.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's a joy to be in camp meeting tonight. Oh, I'm excited in the Lord. You say, this scares me. No, it doesn't scare me. What scares me is when I look down and I'm looking for the body, and I wonder how we're having a funeral. Say amen. It's time God's people got excited. And boy, I love the excitement in the air. So good to be with Pastor Hutzel. So good to be with you dear people. And I'm just excited about being here. Appreciate 11th Hour. What a tremendous job. Let's give them another hand tonight. We appreciate them being here with us, helping us in these days of camp meeting. I want you to turn your Bible, please, tonight to two passages. In Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 8, and also backwards from that, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 10. Psalm 33 and verse number 8, then 1 Chronicles chapter number 29 and verse number 10. While you're turning, I want to thank the men of God who preached so faithfully today and how our hearts were challenged. I sat there with eager anticipation, listening to every word and getting help for my heart. Amen. How we need preaching today that will touch our hearts and move us toward God. I still hear pages turning. Aren't you tired of going to church and you don't feel like you've even been to church? I believe church is an experience, don't you? And I love the house of God. I love you men of God. And I don't know a lot of you, but I'm just honored to be here. Psalm 33 and verse 8. The Bible says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. That deserves to be reread. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. If there's anything we need in these last days, we need a revival, a renewal in our hearts of the greatness and the might and the power of God. David says that the world, the inhabitants, would stand in awe of our great God. If a politician came by or some celebrity came by, people would be breathless, smile. Oh, they would stand in awe. But the greatest of all greats is our God tonight. He's not the King, He's the King of Kings. He's the King's King tonight. And I hope before we leave this house of God that we can stand in awe in the presence of the Lord. Would you look in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10? I'll continue the reading. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, verse 10, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. I want you to really pay attention as I read verse 11 and 12. David says, thine, O Lord, it's the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all. And in Thine hand is power and might, and in Thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Verse 13, Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful to be in the house of God tonight. Lord, I thank You for camp meeting days where the Spirit of God is free and the Spirit of God is not quenched and grieved. I thank You tonight for the excitement and the joy and the praise. I thank You, Lord, for the great preaching we've heard today and the good reports of great preaching on yesterday. And Father, tonight, as it's fallen upon me to try to preach, Lord, I sure do need some help tonight. And I pray You'll come in power and bring that anointing that makes preaching what it ought to be. And Father, we'll give You the glory, the honor, and praise. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. These two texts I read you tonight, I want to hook them together because I believe in Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 8, there's something I believe there that we all need to see. As David says, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. You know, we've bragged on everything and everybody. But it's time that we brag on the Lord. It is the Lord tonight, the reason we're here. We could be out yonder in the side ditch of sin, but it's the good grace of the Lord that let us be in this place tonight. And we ought to lift our hands and lift our voices and praise His holy name. I read you tonight another text that was a very critical and pivotal time in the history of the nation of Israel. There's a transition going on, a big transition. One king is stepping down, and another king is taking over. David is that king. If you'll study the context, he labored with all his might to make this transition work. He labored with all of his heart. Can I say, he did everything that man could do to make it happen. But I'm glad he didn't stop there. You see, God expects us to do everything that we can do. But all we can do, ladies and gentlemen, is all we can do. But I'm glad when we get to the part where we've done all, I'm glad there's a power beyond us that can take us to where we need to be for God. In this transition, it went smoothly. It went successfully. And you know, transitions can be dangerous. I just came through a major transition in my ministry, the greatest transition of my life. As I pastored the same church for 28 years, and God told me 2 months ago that I was to step down. And that's what I've done. I labored with all my heart. I gave it everything I knew how. But then when I got to all I could do, I laid the rest on the Lord. And God made it happen. And God made it work. And I want to tell you folks that I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what transitions are going on in your life. I'm glad there's an awesome God tonight. I said He's an awesome God tonight. And God will get you through. I want to use tonight verse 11 and 12 of 1 Chronicles 29. I'm preaching on the subject that God is awesome. God is awesome. I've read many commentators. I've read a lot of books just like you. But I've never found two verses in the Bible that tell more about the greatness of God than the two verses, verse 11 and verse number 12. Volumes of books have been written about our God that don't say what these two short verses say. Can we take a little time tonight and just work our way through the Scripture and let the Word of God speak to our hearts tonight?
I believe there's a soul here that just needs to be reminded how great God is. I believe there's somebody here going through a deep valley, and you just need to be reminded that God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things, and God has all power, and with Him nothing shall be impossible. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, God is awesome. That means He's breathtaking. That means He's amazing. That means He's magnificent. That means He's extremely impressive. If you're hard to impress, I know somebody that can impress you. And He is an awesome God. Can I get a witness right there? Look with me in verse number 11. I'm just going to let this little outline that David gave us, just use it tonight, hoping it'll be a help and encouragement to you this evening. Look what he says in verse number 11. He says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness." Let's stop there on that word greatness. You say, "Well, preacher, what does it mean?" It means the mighty acts of God. Now, friends, we're in a day when there's an absence in our churches of miracles. It's really sad. You know, one of the deadest things in our churches is the prayer list. Amen. The only time that prayer list changes in a lot of churches is when somebody on it dies. Please don't put my name on that list. I don't want nothing to do with it. I wonder if the children are growing up looking at that old dead prayer list and them same old requests for 30 years. With them same old requests for 30 years and ain't nothing happened and God hadn't moved. I tell you what, that's not the kind of God we serve tonight. We serve a God of mighty acts. Not just acts, but mighty acts. I said He's breathtaking. I said He's magnificent. I said He's extremely impressive. I'm talking about God tonight. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. I love miracles. You said, "I thought you were Baptist." Baptists believed in miracles before the other crowd ever got here. Say amen. I got a shouting Baptist forefather that kicked for joy in his mama's womb before he ever was born. Can somebody say amen right there? I tell you, I'm excited to be here tonight. But I was studying miracles the other day, Brother Allen, and guess who is in the context of the first miracle mentioned in the Bible? You're going to be surprised if you don't know. It was Pharaoh. The most wicked man alive. The most powerful man alive. And when Moses went before Pharaoh, he said, "I am hath sent me." He said, "Who is that? I never heard of him. I never heard about no God called I am. I'm glad he didn't say I was sent me. I'm glad he didn't say I hope to be sent me. I'm glad he said I am have sent me." He said, "Well, Moses, if this God is so great as you say, show me a miracle." Woo! I'm going to tell you something, friends, tonight. This world's just like Pharaoh. They come in our churches, the music's dead, the prayer list is dead, Sunday school's dead, choir's dead, preaching's dead, everything's dead. Come on now, say amen. You know what they're looking for? A miracle! They're looking for God to do something real. I serve a God that can do miracles. He's a can-do God. We prayed too many prayers we didn't mean. We prayed too many prayers that had no purpose. We need to get back on the altar and get back after God and watch God do miracles for us again. Hallelujah. I want to see a miracle. I want to see a miracle this week. Greatest of all miracles is when a soul gets saved. Hey, hey! That's shouting ground right there. Back at our church I pastored, I just got sick of that old dead prayer list. I'm sorry. But we formed a team of prayer people. And we called it the Supplication Prayer Force. Amen. And we're going to write our prayer list down. And we're going to keep a record of the ones that God answers. And we're not going to pray it unless we mean it. And we're not going to pray it unless we believe it. And we got to praying in 2015 alone. I could call the secretary right now. Over 300 miracles that God did in 2015 in our church just because a group of people got together, got on their knees, agreed together in prayer, and believe that there's an awesome God, and believe there's a God that's on the throne. Our God's not dead, ladies and gentlemen. Our God's alive, and He's almighty. I said He's great tonight. He's breathtaking. He's magnificent. He is our God. Show me a miracle. God's real. Can you show some miracles? What if a lost person comes to you and say, can you show us some miracles? Moses threw that rod down and became a serpent. I bet Moses thought, whew, thank God. Come on now. But then here comes that wicked bunch of magicians. And I can see Moses' face expression might have changed a little bit when they threw their rods down. And then they become snakes. And now Moses is outnumbered. He's got one snake and they got several. But that snake looked up at Moses and said, I think it's about lunchtime. Can somebody say amen? I'm glad God's serpent ate up their serpents. It lets us know our God is greater than the gods of this world. Our God is greater than the devil. Our God is greater than the pharaohs of this world. And David said, thine is the greatness, the mighty acts, the mighty power. God said, let there be. And everything we understand, it came into existence. What a God we serve. Oh, what a God we serve. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. Thine is the greatness, the mighty acts of God. The mighty acts of God. And then he goes on to say, and the power. In verse number 11, thine is the greatness, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. Oh, how we need the power. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. We need a baptism this week, not of water, but a baptism of mighty power. I'm looking for God to baptize us all in that power so we can walk in victory, so we can have God's best in our lives. Say amen right there. Thine is the greatness. Thine is the power. Bless His holy name. The word power means an interaction that changes the direction from which one is going. And brother, if that's not salvation, I don't know what it is. I'm glad one night under an old gospel tent, the Holy Ghost came to my seat where I was and spoke to my heart and showed me I was going the wrong direction. I came to Jesus that night, repented of all my sin, put my faith and trust in Him. And brother, guess what? A transaction took place that changed my direction. And brother, that's what the power of God can do. It's not another reformer's program we need. It's the power of God we need. I grew up in the old school where when drunks got saved, they got delivered. When drug addicts got saved, they got delivered. When adulterers got saved, they quit the adultery. I'm talking about a God of power that can change direction tonight. Bless His holy name. Thine is the glory and the power. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Didn't say he was. Said he is. That's an ever-present term. Every day when I get up, I've been saved since I was a little boy. And this is not proper English, but I'm not teaching English. I is a new creature. Every day. What glory to His name. Can somebody say amen? Some of you sitting there doubting your salvation. Some of you so defeated. You've let the devil wear you out. Hey, Listen, you tell the devil, go back where he come from. Brother, God changed your direction one day. There used to be a time you'd have had to been handcuffed, tied, dragged, gagged, and blindfolded to get in a place like this. But you walked in tonight. You thought these people was crazy at one time. But now you're just like them. That's what I call salvation. That's what I call a change. God can make the change. Thine is the glory. Woo! Thine is the power. Amen, amen, amen. And then look what else he says. The victory. Boy, 11th hour, hit the ball out of the park. I thought, wow, that's going to fit this point really good. You know what the word victory there means? It means the bright light at the end of a dark way. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Some of you tonight's going through a dark way. And you're just about ready to quit. But I want you to look up. I want you to look out yonder in the distance. And if you'll just get focused on the distance, get your eyes off the darkness, get your eyes off the problem, get your eyes off the difficulty, and if you look out yonder, if you'll look out yonder, you'll see a bright light in the distance. I'm glad we serve a God of victory. It's victory in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. Glory to His name. Brother, sister, hang in there. Don't think about quitting. There's victory out yonder in the distance. You keep pressing on. You keep going for God. And God will give you victory in His time.
Been through my share of trials, and so have you. But how many of you know that through every dark trial, God had a bright light at the end? Amen. Job said there's a bright light in the cloud. And sometimes the clouds are dark. But if you could bust that cloud open, you'll find there's a bright light in that cloud. I got victory tonight. I don't want nobody's sympathy for serving God. No. Don't feel sorry for me because I love Jesus. Some say I'm a fanatic. But you know it's okay to be a fanatic for football. And it's okay to be a fanatic for baseball. It's okay to be a fanatic for sports. But you go to be a fanatic for the Lord, people think you've lost your mind. Well, the root of fanatic is fan. And I claim guilty of being a fan of Jesus. He's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Thine is the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Majesty speaks of His beauty. Solomon said in Song of Solomon 5:10 that He's the chiefest among 10,000. There ain't nobody like Him. There's none that can compare. And when David said, let all the earth stand in awe of Him, let Him take your breath away. Let Him show you His magnificence. Let Him impress you tonight because He is an awesome God. And look what else it says. I don't guess I'm doing much preaching. I'm just kind of reading the Bible. We're doing our daily Bible reading since some of you are not going to do it anyway. Amen. I love this Word of God, man. It's a living letter, don't you? Aren't you glad you can go to church and have a good time? Average person goes to church, walks in, looks like they've been drinking sour lemon juice. Brother, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. So, preacher, you don't know how bad it is. Well, you don't know how good God is. If you get a glimpse of how good God is, how bad it's looking for you will kind of change its appearance. Because thine is the glory. Thine is the power. Glory to His name. Thine is the glory, power, victory, and majesty. Let's move on. I just love this old book up here. He says in the majesty, "For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom." That just lets us know that He owns it all. And if there's anything that you happen to need, no need to ask me necessarily, ask Him. Because He has title deed to everything that there is. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And God said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Amen. What a God we serve. In verse number 11, it all belongs to Him, both in heaven and in the earth. But as we close verse number 11, the Bible says He is exalted. He is exalted as head above all. And you don't get no higher than that. When you're above all, that's it. That's what you call top of the line. That's what you call going to the top of the ladder. That's what you call our God. He's head above all. I was studying those terms, Brother Hutzel, and I looked at that being head above all. How many of you know when in the book of Job, in the life and times of Job, we learn some things about how the angels appear before God? Do you remember what the Bible says? The sons of God appear to God. And you know who slipped in among them, don't you? The devil. You see, the reason that they appear before God is to get their orders. The angels don't just do things without God giving them permission. They've got to get their commands. They've got to get their commission. That we learned that in Job. They appear before God. But right amongst the angels, the sons of God, here comes old Lucifer. I'm thinking, what are you doing there? You ain't got no business there. But you know why he has to go there? Because he can't do anything. Whoop, glory, this is about to get shouting around. He can't do anything without getting permission from God. Don't you know the devil hates it every time? He's got to go ask God for permission. It's just another glimpse of God's glory and being head above all, including the devil. Amen. Well, the devil put a lot on Job, didn't he? But have you ever studied the book of Job? All that was by permission. And did you know the devil did nothing to Job that God did not permit? And God had already invested in Job, Brother Craig. He invested in Job everything Job needed. So when the devil came, Job was ready. Now let that cheer you up a little bit. That when the devil comes, God has already invested in you what you need to overcome the devil. And God just sets up in heaven and smiles as the devil hits you with everything he can, and you come out victorious on the other side. You don't just come out with victory, but you come out stronger, and you come out wiser, and you come out better. Trials don't have to make you bitter. They can make you better. And that's what God wants to do. I want you to think a little bit. God gave you a mind. Would you think a minute? Do you really believe that? Now, I know the devil hit Job hard. As hard as I've ever seen any man hit in his family, in his life. I mean, he got hit hard. But I'm going to tell you something about that. The devil didn't do everything to Job that he wanted to do. You see, God, now this head above all, are y'all ready for this? Y'all got me on video? You want to know what it means? Y'all look up here. The devil comes to God and says, "Pastor Jason Hutzel,
I want to do this to him. And God says, that's what head above all means. It means to shake your head no. And I'm glad that there's going to be nothing. I said there's going to be nothing that's going to come your way that God's not going to get you through, because God's greater than the devil and God's greater than this world. And when the devil comes to God and says, let me have her, let me have him, God sets up into heaven and does this. They're mine. There's only so far you can go. They belong to me. And you're not going to do what you would to them. Amen, Brother Parson. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. I guess this rate's pretty good for Bible reading on a Monday night. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Now, I don't mind hacking, but I'm a whooper, okay? Whoop! Hallelujah! I can't help it. I got what them preachers preach. I got the can't help us, man. I'm just excited about how great God is. Can I get a witness? God is awesome. Well, let's move on to verse 12. The Bible says, both riches and honor come of thee. You know what? The word riches means wealth. Now, we don't believe in this health and wealth philosophy, but can I tell you something? Every good thing you have, it came from God. One of my favorite songwriters lives in heaven, Michael Henson. He said, all that I have, I got from him. And I tell you, I remember when I didn't have a suit to wear. And I remember when I didn't have a nice car to drive. And I remember when I didn't have anything in this world. But I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I said, I know I ain't nothing. I sure ain't much. But would you take me like I am? And I'm going to tell you, friend, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Look at where God's brought you from. Look at how good God's been to you. Look at how God's met and supplied your every need. Riches come from Him. According to verse number 12, and honor. That means weight, validity, credibility. Let's put in reverse a minute tonight. Hey, there's people here, Brother Pastor Hutzel said, some of the greatest Christians that he knows are in this building tonight. You know what he meant by that? They got weight. They got credibility. These people are valid. These people are the real deal. But if we shift to reverse and go back yonder, look what we were before God put honor on us. Look what we were before God made us valid and God made us credible and God gave us some weight. I'm telling you, friend, there's nothing like what God can do in your life. If you're young, I challenge you, come to God. I mean, sell out all the way. Go all the way. Burn the bridges. Sign the contract. Go with God all the way. You'll never be sorry, because wealth comes from Him. Honor comes from Him. All that we have comes from Him. And He's a mighty good master. Riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. You know what that means? It means His hand is steady. And I'm looking at people. Let's take off the plastic a little bit, all right? Have you got a halo on? Just set it to the side. Clip those angel wings off a minute. Let's get real. Sometimes our hand's like this. Sometimes we're scared to death. But when I'm scared to death, Brother Chris, His hand is steady. I might be shaking in my boots, but He's not. See, there's nothing ever scared Him. There's nothing that ever alarmed Him. He's never sat down and figured out anything, because He knows everything. And He knows the way that you take, dear child of God. And I promise you, when He hath tried you, you shall come forth as gold. He's got a steady hand. And the Bible says, and He, to give strength unto all. I try to emphasize this as I go down the road. There's no supermen in God's work. There's no super people. We're all just made of the same stuff. And not one of us be here tonight if it wasn't for the Lord. So all we got to really brag on tonight is Him. So there's no big shot. There's no little shot. It's just children that God loves. And what I'm trying to say tonight is give a strength unto all. Something I've learned in my journey. Something I've learned, Brother Doyle, is this. It's easier for me to believe God will take care of you in your trial than it is for me to believe He'll take care of me in mine. And I mean honestly. Has anybody ever met you and gave you a big spiel about a big burden they got? And honestly, sincerely, with all your heart, you say, hey, God's going to get you through this. I promise God's going to get you. Isn't it amazing how we can have greater confidence in God? And I'm not fussing. I'm just telling how we are. See, I like to get real. If we're not going to get real, we're not going to get no help. But if I can believe God's going to take care of Brother Doyle and really mean it, and really believe it, I can believe that God's going to take care of me. And God gives strength. Is that what that book says? He gives strength unto all. Bless His holy righteous name. Now, I have ran fast and gave 10 points. Now, you show me another Baptist preacher that can give you 10 points in 35 minutes and everybody's still happy. You know God's in the house. That's got to be a first time. It's got to be a world record. Amen. But thine is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. It all belongs to Him. He's head above all. All riches and honor come of Him. In His hand is power and might. In His hand He makes great and He gives strength unto all. I believe that God is awesome. Now, there should be a response to that. David has vividly described the greatness of God with 10 points in 2 short verses. But look what he says in chapter 29 and verse 13. I'm about done. And I may not be. Because this thing liable to go into glory here in just a minute. And I may take this wireless out in the parking lot and just see how far it'll reach. Now, therefore, our God. Now, God's awesome. Is that right? Amen. Has the Bible made it clear God's awesome? Amen. Can you say it with me? God is awesome. Now. Now, what are we going to do? Our God, we thank Thee. We thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. And if we really believe He's awesome, let's thank Him. Let's bless His glorious name. We should stand. We should shout. We should praise the Lord for what God has done for us. God is awesome. God is awesome tonight. Just keep shouting. Just keep clapping. Sound man, give me a little power. Let them shout. And David said in verse 20, don't turn, just keep shouting. He said to all the congregation, now, we've been putting off shouting too long. Now, right now, He said, bless the Lord your God in verse 20. And guess what? And all the congregation blessed the Lord. That's the way it works. God said we ought to bless the Lord. God said we ought to bless the Lord. We ought to bless the Lord tonight. Is He worthy? Did He save you? Has He brought you through? Has He been the dearest friend you've ever had? I want to be honest with this old book now. Y'all love this old book? We ought to bless God. I believe we're about to get that done. Some of you look like you're getting the can't help it. Amen. But you know what they did after they blessed the Lord? After they had a shouting spell? A lady told me the other day, she said, "You said you're about to have a shouting spell." I said, "I didn't know what that meant, but you showed me. It didn't take long what a shouting spell. I'm about to have a shouting spell." Amen. But we praised Him and we thank Him and we give Him glory. But look what He said in verse 20. Now, right now. Right now, not tomorrow. Bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation bless the Lord, the God of their father. Now look what happened. See how our assignment's kind of gone down? That's the way it goes. Hey, nothing wrong with that. Hang on with me. You're good. You're good right there. And then they bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. You know, it's a pretty good order from the Bible. To just shout till you can't shout no more. And just praise Him. Shout till you got water in your shoes like I do. I hear it sloshing. Amen. But then after we kind of wear out and wind out, let's just bow our heads. And let's come to this altar and just thank Him and worship Him and praise Him. How many would join me tonight all over this house? If there's not room, we'll make room on the pews. Bow down and worship Him and thank Him for all that the Lord has done.